Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. After a night of heavy airstrikes, Israeli forces enter the heart of southern Gaza's largest city. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Jerusalem.
Israeli forces say they are now in the heart of Khan Yunis, a city they believe to host many Hamas leaders, as well as hundreds of thousands of Palestinians now left with vanishing options for safety. Rushed to the hospital, these sisters breathe fresh air for the first time after being plucked from beneath the rubble after 4 days. I want my mom, says Lana Abu Safi.
CBS News has reviewed a bulletin issued by the FBI to law enforcement nationwide. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
This bulletin says that the most likely primary targets could include churches, synagogues, and members of the Jewish community. Now, today, the FBI director was telling senators that the U.S. is facing the highest risk of attack in years.
The Senate approves over 420 military promotions after Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville ended a months-long blockade of nominations over his opposition to a Pentagon abortion policy. However, he's still not budging on some of the highest-ranking military officers. Pentagon spokesperson Brigadier General Patrick Ryder says all holds should be lifted.
When it's unclear whether or not your senior leaders are going to be in place at the time and place they're needed, that, of course, creates unnecessary friction and does have impact on readiness.
Thousands of professors are walking out of their lecture halls this week at California State University campuses. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
Striking faculty members are demanding a 12% raise. The Cal State system has offered 5%, prompting this chant from the picket lines.
5% will pay the rent.
Political science professor James Martell says between the high cost of living and rising inflation, many of his colleagues can barely make ends meet.
One of our demands is to raise the minimum salary of a lecturer up by $10,000 because it's literally unaffordable. And a lot of them, I think, are homeless, actually.
The rolling one-day strike will likely shut down 4 CSU campuses this week. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
The co-founder of the band Wings and the Moody Blues has died. CBS's Matt Piper looks back.
Denny Lane helped shape much of the music from the 1970s. Forming Wings alongside Paul and Linda McCartney in 1971. Their Band on the Run album 2 years later hit number one here in the U.S. Whether on the guitar or on vocals, the Birmingham, England native said he found freedom in either role. Prior to Wings, Lane was a founding member of the Moody Blues. His wife says he was suffering from lung disease. Denny Lane was 79. Matt Piper, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that the 1849 law that was interpreted as an abortion ban does not actually ban consensual abortions. Following the Dobbs decision last year, state officials pointed to that law to criminalize all abortions. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin praised the judge's decision, calling it a step forward to restoring access to abortion across the state. Still, this is likely not the final ruling on the matter, and the case is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin and Minnesota are asking for more than $1 million to replace the John A. Blatnick Bridge between Superior and Duluth. The span is critical for connecting the two states. 33,000 vehicles use it every day. But it's 60 years old, and the governors say it's in bad shape. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the New York Knicks in what's called the knockout round of the NBA in-season tournament at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Damian Lillard.
You know, I think we've learned more and more about it as it's going on, and we've taken more pride in it each game. Against the team that we beat in the last one. You know, I thought we played a pretty solid game against them. You know, we're improving. So one game, and then, you know, it's We off to Vegas.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have entered the AP's top 25, ranked 23rd after beating Marquette over the weekend in Madison. Marquette dropped five spots from 3rd to 8th after losing to the Badgers. NFL, the Packers' Christian Watson had seven catches and scored two touchdowns in that win over the Chiefs Sunday night, but he also had to leave the game with another hamstring injury. Matt LaFleur.
Does Christian's hamstring look like it's anywhere near as severe as the one?
We do not know yet. We're waiting till tomorrow and should have a better indication of where he's at.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 26. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 38 tomorrow. Two tomorrow night, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. That was great stuff with Rob Thomas. Love talking movies and TV with Rob. His insights are unparalleled. We did get it. This is funny. We got a text. We've been asking people all night what their least favorite Christmas song is and asking them to call or text in. And the number, by the way, is 920-264-0606. Text or call in and let us know what your least favorite Christmas song is. We've kind of been playing them all night here. Rob Thomas said he was a huge Beatle fan, but he hated Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. He just called it terrible. While Rob was talking, and we just saw this text when he was done from a listener, Chris, he said he's the biggest Beatles fan of all time, but Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time is just awful, objectively awful. He went even farther than Rob Thomas. Did you notice that, Conrad?
I did.
What are the odds of that?
Not likely.
Not just that it's the same song, but they're both...
That they texted at the same time, pretty much. Or
yeah.
They said it at the same time, I mean.
And self-identified huge Beatle fans. I think that's really funny. Hey, you can download the Civic Media app, too, or go to civicmedia.us and listen to any of your favorite shows. The app is really user-friendly, and it's very easy to use and very accessible, so... Definitely do that. But call us or text us your least favorite Christmas song, 920-264-0606. And if you're going to say Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas, the dance card is full. It's already been voted for twice. So there you go. At 9:30, we have Mike Mercury coming up. He is a Wisconsin-based, Madison-based comedian and writer, and he wrote a funny article on Substack about Taylor Swift. Not about Taylor Swift. He makes reference to her and compares himself to her. We'll talk to Mike about that at 9:30. Right now, we have another guest joining us on the phone. Her name is Brittany Welch. She is the director of Theater on the Bay, which has been around for about 70 years in the community of Marinette, which I'm quite familiar with. Brittany has directed every one of their shows, Christmas by the Bay. I think this is the fifth year. She's a great director, got a beautiful voice. I tried to get here to perform in person in the studio, but she's busy with rehearsals because the show is this weekend. So let's welcome Brittany to the show. Brittany, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I know you're busy and you probably got people. They're probably kick dancing right now and you told them to cut and so you could take this call. So we appreciate that very much.
I got to sneak out early. It was kind of nice.
Well, I'm here to help. Tell us a little bit about Christmas by the Bay and where this idea came from.
So this is actually our seventh annual.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Even during COVID, we did a virtual concert that we were able to record safely.
That's
but
right.
Really, the idea just came to me because I love Christmas. And there just wasn't really a lot happening in the area as far as like Christmas themed events. And in general, we just don't really have like a whole ton of family friendly stuff. It's definitely getting better. But at the time, there just wasn't a lot of stuff happening. And so I went to my supervisor at the time and I said, hey, I have an idea for doing a Christmas concert. What if we did popular songs from Christmas movies? And she immediately was like, yeah, let's get it in the books. And it's just kind of grown from there. It started pretty small, but we had a really good turnout. And it's just been growing every year. Yeah, and keeps growing and adding more elements pretty much every year. So
you've added dancers. And it was gutsy. I mean, directing small town theater, you can either have incredible talent or are you happy with what you have to work with? Because I've been amazed. Like that first one you did, I think there were families singing together, going up on stage. And I was like, this is so fun. And they didn't have to be the best singers in the world. It was just a great, you know, they were good enough and it was just fun to see that. Yeah. And then you had some phenomenal singers as well, obviously.
Yeah, it's honestly like crazy. I mean, since I first started directing children's theater, before we even had Christmas by the Bay, I was just astounded with the talent that we have in such a small community. Yeah. And I think it just, the theater speaks for itself that people keep coming back. I just feel like we've...
Did we lose Brittany? Uh-oh.
We did lose her.
Let's get her back on the line.
Yes, I'm going to call her back right
Marinette,
now.
I will say, Marinette, I agree with what she's saying because I don't live far from there. I'm in the area. They have three or four movies have been shot there the last 10 years, 20 years, I should say, myself included. I made a film called The Godfather of Green Bay there. My friend Mike McGuire made a film called Aquarians. There were other films shot there. And the local community theater, Theater on the Bay, puts out, I would say, 2 to 3 shows a year. So the culture in this little community, what Brittany was talking about, is top notch. And if you're listening, I want to hear from other people who have the same experience in their town with a great theater, a great theater program, despite the fact that it's a small town. I think that's really important to have culture in small towns or communities or counties. And I know it exists all throughout Wisconsin. So don't hesitate to contact me or the show. We'd love to talk to you more. Conrad, let me know when we have Brittany back. She's been putting on this show called Christmas by the Bay. This is her 7th year, she said. And it has such a charm to it. I've gone every year because my daughter sings with them. She's part of the community there too. And you just leave. It's around the 10th of December every year. And you just leave and there is such a, with the Christmas spirit, you know, you see families singing together, little kids singing, adults. And it's just a great experience. So there are still tickets left. If you live in Northeast Wisconsin, especially in the Marinette, Peshtigo, Menominee, Michigan area, I highly recommend going to see Christmas by the Bay. Take your family. It's a fun event. And I know they still have tickets left. And it's a really fun event. And join next year because they're open to having people. So the great thing too, and this blew me away about my little community. Is Brittany back with us?
Yes, she's back with us.
Are you there, Brittany?
Yes, I am.
I was just singing your praises.
My husband called me and I accidentally hung up.
Oh, well, you know what? He's going to pay for that. I'm going to get him. Okay. He can join you on the call, actually. I know he's one of the performers, too. So I was just telling them how you still have seats left for this weekend, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
It's selling fast, but we do have plenty of seats left.
That's great to know. So, and I was saying it's worth the drive, too, because I want to talk to you. We were talking about a small community. And I put this out there to people. Our show is statewide. I want to hear from people all around the state that do what you do in smaller communities because I think that's so important to have a cultural outlet and especially a theater outlet in a small community. So if you, I don't know if there's a network of theater directors like yourself, but please spread the word because I would love to talk to them.
Yeah.
You were saying my guest is Brittany Welch. Is it Brittany Welch Pills now? I know you just got married.
Not legally yet. But
okay.
That's what it will be. Yeah.
Well, I am not a lawbreaker, so I will stick with the plan. So you've directed several shows there, and what blew me away and what I want to talk to you about, you guys did Rocky Horror Picture Show about a month and a half ago. I'm like, what? they're doing that show here in Marinette. Okay. What made you want to do that? And it's a hard show to do, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. We actually had put it on the theater calendar before COVID, and then COVID happened. So we had to kind of push it forward, and we weren't sure if we were actually still going to do it. And then I chose it. So I have a production company called Coastal Players, a theater company. And I chose that for our fall show to do. And it just so happened that UW Green Bay was looking to do it here in connection with the UWGB Pride Center. And my sister overheard them talking about it and said, there's a theater company that's already looking to do it. And it became our first collaboration between Coastal Players and Theater on the Bay.
That is so cool. And I heard that there were busfuls of people coming up from the UWGB Green Bay campus, and people told me in the community, I think I was out of town that week or something, but they were like, you would not have believed it. I've never seen a reaction like that from the crowd. People were standing up and really being part of it. So that's pretty amazing. Were you scared that the talent level you have wouldn't be able to pull it off? Or are you that confident in the people in the community to pull it off?
I was pretty confident. I think we were more worried about the content of the show. It's kind of risky in the area that we're in, but Rocky is one of those shows that people are like, oh, we don't care. It's fun. It's a cult classic. And, you know, it just kind of resonates with everybody for some reason. And we weren't expecting the turnout that we had and the response that we had. So it just kind of shows that our community is growing and becoming more accepting of things like that. So
absolutely,
pretty cool.
And people probably still have Rocky or have Let's Do the Time Warp Again in their heads three or four weeks later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you went to UWGB. You're part of the theater program there. I know they talked recently about dropping the theater program. Do you have thoughts on that?
So I was kind of a mixture of a music and theater student.
Okay.
I was technically like a theater major for about a year and a half there.
Okay.
And I actually got added to a group on Facebook where they're, you know, trying to figure out a way to keep the theater program there. And, you know, I'm following it the best that I can. And I, you know, it's sad to see. And it is just kind of crazy that we've got such a strong program here and we're keeping it going. And I hope that they realize that how important it is to students there and the community. It's unfortunate what's happening, I guess.
Well, hopefully it won't go through, but it didn't look good last I had read about it. All right. So I have to ask you, I appreciate your time tonight. I know you're busy, but do you have a least favorite Christmas song?
I probably
have several.
And I actually heard, I heard this stuff about how many people hate the Beatles Christmas song. And I am also an avid Beatles fan.
Okay.
Saw Paul McCartney at Lambeau a few years ago.
Oh, nice.
And I know that that song is kind of universally not well-liked. I understand, but I do like that song. So that is not my least favorite. I would say my least favorite is The Christmas Shoes.
Oh, that's on the list too. You're not the first person to say that. Yeah, that's kind of a cringy. Brittany, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yeah.
You did great.
You're
thanks
welcome.
A lot. Good luck this weekend. It's theater. It's
thanks
Christmas
so
by
much.
The Bay. There are still tickets, so rush to the theater. It's a great show. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we got some texts here. Worst Christmas song, anything by the Chipmunks. Hard to argue with that. Gizmo texted in the other day. It was Baby, It's Cold Outside. That's another popular one. We're coming back with Mike Mercury pretty soon, and we're going to do more bad Christmas songs. Peach Wabba, Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. That was fun. There's still tickets available for Christmas by the Bay in Marinette at the Theater on the Bay. Highly recommend it. And I did get a text from someone. I've kind of been encouraging people to get in touch with us. We want to talk more cultural issues and theater and all kinds of stuff, music all over the state. And someone did say, I've been working in community theater for 20 years, and it is great in this area. I'll get a hold of you soon, and we'll chat. Well, I'd say I'll hold you to that, but you didn't leave a name. So please do, though. Reach out. We'd love to talk to you. Mike Mercury is coming up in a few minutes. He is the he's a comedian based in Madison and a writer, and he wrote an article for his Substack where he mentions Taylor Swift and has some funny stuff and some funny stand-up stuff. So we'll talk to Mike in a little bit. And right now, we got to do more bad Christmas music.
Comrade, I agree.
Do we have the dogs? Let's do the dogs.
I'm going to play my favorite one.
Okay. All right, sweet. Where does it go from here? Oh, more barking. Hold on. After the chorus, cut it.
Okay.
All right, we've heard enough. That's good.
That one's my favorite for sure.
Your favorite in a bad way, not your favorite Christmas. Because some people on here on the comments, I'm not kidding, this is like their favorite song. I don't get it.
If you're a dog lover, I can get it.
Okay, you know? I love dogs. I don't love fake dogs singing. That's a lot of big difference there.
See, I'm planning to play this at Family Christmas now.
Well, that's great. I hope you don't live at home. You better start looking for a place. Here's one of the comments. I love this. I'm surprised our dog didn't come in from the other room when the dogs were barking. Okay. Couple things. Your dog's not an idiot. He knows a crappy song when he hears it. I mean, what? Those aren't real dogs. It's like I could sit there and bark at a dog and pretend like I'm talking to the dog. The dog's not going to buy it. Right? Here's another comment. They should remake this. Wow. As if sound quality is what makes it tough to stomach. And then another comment. This is the only Christmas music I can stand. Okay. I disagree, but this guy got 7 likes and no thumbs down. 7 people agreed that this is the only music I can stand. And then here's the one I didn't understand at all, but this is one of the comments. In Siberia, this song is sung by yaks. Makes sense if you think about it. 5 likes. Okay.
Did he give any of them thumbs down?
No thumbs down. People are very positive on YouTube. And here's the last comment. I love listening to it all the way through. Yeah. I'm more of a 5 or 6 barks guy. But here's what I don't get, too. Another guy wrote, silly, comical, and ridiculous. Love it. Okay, that I get. It's silly, but when you're saying it's your favorite Christmas song ever, I don't get that. And that's not the only animal one we have. Play the other one we found. That's a knockoff. I disapprove. It's been done. Although this one had cats too, right?
Yeah, this one has cats.
Dogs and cats singing together.
Just wait for the meows.
All right. How'd they do that? That's good. Was that the sound? Was that a dog eating a cat? Is that what that noise was? Oh, okay. That's good. That'll do.
Yeah, that one's not my favorite. I'll say that. When the cats come in, I don't like it.
Well, is that what did it for you? The cats?
Yeah.
Okay. I was out before that, but I don't. Animals, quote, singing, end quote, Christmas carols, just stop. Animals are cute. They're nice companions. They're not crooners. Just stop. Even when animals are wearing people's clothes and people go nuts with their pet, I get it. You love your pet. They're awesome. But the singing, who thought, oh, we gotta lay these tracks down. listen to the pup. He can bring it. Okay. We got any more? Oh, we have another one, right?
Yeah. We got Maroon 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay, play this one.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done?
Whew.
Another year over. A new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.
Okay. When he starts the falsetto.
I hope you had fun.
And it gets worse. Like he goes into this crazy voice.
Near and the near one.
I think people try too hard. They want to really crush it because it's a Christmas song and they like overproduce it or oversing.
They want to be Mariah Carey.
Yeah, and she sings a great Christmas song.
Yeah.
That's one of the new ones I like is the Mariah Carey. This one, though, is like, this didn't need to be redone.
No.
You know, this guy, okay, I think we can cut it. That Maroon 5 played the Super Bowl a few years ago, and Adam Levine, I don't know their music very well other than what we just heard, but Adam Levine, I think talking to the crowd is an art, and he, at one point during the Super Bowl halftime show, he said, would anybody mind if I played a little guitar? Well, you're on the stage. Do we have a choice? You're holding a guitar. You're there to do just that. Go for it, buddy. Yeah, I don't know. That one didn't, the falsetto just didn't do it for me. It was like hearing a fork scrape a plate, you know. Not good. Do we have any more? Let's try to get one more in here before we bring Mike on.
We could play the Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk song if you wanted to hear that.
You know what? Let's do that one. I'm curious because I have to say, I do like John Denver. I'm putting myself out there. I love the guy. I love his music.
Show your daughter how much you love.
Ooh.
Sorry, that was an ad.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry.
Oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry.
Well,
just last
sounds like a good marriage. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I love John Denver. But what, maybe that was like a very personal song. I don't know. I know. I think he struggled with alcohol at times, as many musicians do. But wow, that's
I think
good.
The original singer was Alan Jackson. And okay. he did a different one, like a cover for it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got to say, that one's not landing for me.
No.
I got a text that says, this is John Boyle. When will you play my song? Did he put a song in there? Was there a song or is he just asking us to randomly?
Does he have his own song?
Not that I know of. John Boyle, the singer? I don't have that. I don't know. John, if you want to text back, we'll see what we can do. We've got a catalog of Christmas music. So if you got a bad one, we'd love to play it. We'll do good ones another night. Yeah, I don't know. Do we have one more? Oh, we got to get... Okay, at some point between now and the end of the show, Conrad, we have to play my least favorite, way overplayed song. We'll get to that too. But in just a few minutes, I'm going to welcome an old friend, comedian and writer, Madison-based Mike Mercury. He's going to join us here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We'll be right back. Don't go away. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel intensifies strikes on southern Gaza. CBS's Chris Lipson.
Israeli Defense Forces announced today that they have entered the center of Khan Yunis. It's that city in the south, the second largest in Gaza, and also believed to be a major command center of Hamas. Of course, it's also home to hundreds of thousands of people.
CBS News has reviewed an FBI bulletin telling law enforcement nationwide that with the war in Gaza, terror groups may increase calls for violence here. It's FBI Director Christopher Wray.
The threat level has gone to a whole nother level since October 7th.
The Senate approves over 420 military promotions after GOP Senator Tommy Tuberville ends a month-long blockade of most nominations over a Pentagon abortion policy. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We got to get those four stars confirmed as well, because they're leading at the very top leadership level. They're responsible for some very, very strategic issues around the world. We need to see them confirmed as well, just as soon as possible.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers signed the bill to spend $500 million of public money to pay for upkeep at American Family Field on Tuesday. The bill eventually saw bipartisan support in the legislature after months of negotiations. Now negotiations can begin between the Brewers and the state-created ballpark district that owns the stadium to keep the team in Milwaukee through 2050. The Wisconsin State Senate's top Republican tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network he disagrees with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss over withholding University of Wisconsin pay raises over diversity programming.
Why do you support holding back those pay raises for UW employees?
I don't support holding them back.
You think that money should go out the door?
Yeah, I do.
Republican Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says withholding raises hurts a lot of people who have nothing to do with diversity programs. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a low of 26. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 38 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm Pete Schwabba. That was a good one, Conrad, playing the raspberries, playing us back in. It's a weird word. It looks like raspberries. But if you say it like that, you sound like a nutcase. So you guys, listeners, please, you still have time to text in your least favorite Christmas song of all time. We have, I think we're going to try to get to one or two more before the end of the show as we wind down here. But first, I would like to welcome an old friend who is a comedian and writer, Madison-based. He wrote an article on his Substack the other day that I read, kind of not comparing himself to Taylor Swift, but he's got, he did make reference, and Taylor Swift, as we all know, was just at Lambeau Field the other day. So let's bring in Mike Mercury. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Pete, I'm good. Thank you for calling me just in time to listen to the commercials. It was great, and I got to sign up for Bug Tussle while you were on break.
Hey, listen, we like to give you something to do because, yeah, you know, idle hands, you know what I mean? So now you come out ahead with this.
So we don't. What song is in the lead? Can you tell us that, or is that secret? Least favorite Christmas song.
Conrad, what do you think? We haven't really been keeping a tally. Maybe we should have been.
It's the Paul McCartney one.
The Paul McCartney, Paul McCartney one.
Has to be that one.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that would come up on the list. Because I was listening to some, and those two, Mariah Carey and Paul McCartney, keep popping up as the least favorite, but I give Paul McCartney a pass because he's Paul McCartney.
And he's 95.
It was the holidays. And he was still doing drugs then. So he's okay. Yeah, that one's okay. I don't know if anyone else is. The one that really chaps my butt is the Chipmunks.
Oh, someone else texted that in too. Unless that was you.
The Chipmunks song. Have you heard that? It's, you know, that song, it won 3 Grammy Awards in like 1958. And so if that's what won Grammys in 1958, I can't imagine what the other song choices were for the people who vote. So that must, all I know is that must have been the year when someone discovered that if you speed up the tape on a recording, it sounded like the singers had inhaled helium balloons. And then the Recording Academy voters were like completely blown away by that.
Mike, you cannot laugh at that.
Yeah.
You cannot laugh at it. It was all animals that year in 58. And the Chipmunks were the best.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't do your homework.
Up until then, before that, the only way you could achieve a sound even remotely like that was to have a bunch of little people sing, "We Represent the Lollipop Guild." That's the only way. So
listen,
the Chipmunk song is out.
I cannot thank you enough for doing your homework on this just for our random question tonight. I wasn't even going to ask you that till the end. That's fantastic. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
And you're not alone. So, tell us what made you write this article? It's a great article. Tell people how they can read it on your Substack.
I don't know.
Google?
I don't know if I know the. Yeah, you go on. I don't know.
You're a master self-promoter.
Google. Go on Google the column is called Thinking Out Loud. So if you do Mike Mercury Thinking Out Loud, it'll come up on Substack. And
that's excellent.
Yeah, so I think what triggered it was, first of all, this, the nonstop. I mean, I'm a football fan and a Packers fan, so I watch football this time of year like a lot of us do. And so this just incessant coverage of Taylor Swift, and I would be one of those people. You could play any song of Taylor Swift right now, and I wouldn't have a clue. But I think she's fantastic. I mean, she's lovely, and she's super talented. And she's obviously insanely successful. So, it's hard to.
Does she have her own talk show? Does she have her own talk show on Civic Media, Mike? That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying she's not successful, but there are levels of success.
Yeah, that's right. You've got a solid point there. That is legit. So anyway, yeah, she's constantly in the news. I watched the game, and, you know, I was watching the game downstairs. My wife, she's not so interested in the football proceedings, but I had to yell out whenever Taylor was on the screen, honey, she's on.
Don't break an ankle running downstairs.
Yeah.
That's great. So,
and then I was just thinking about the sort of the logistics of her, you know, showing up at a football game in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's, you know, it's insane. And she comes with her pals. Did you see who her travel companions were by any chance?
I did, but I didn't recognize. It was one, Brittany Mahomes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes' wife.
Right.
And then, and now I forgot the other lady. But yeah, three young gals out on the town. But out on the town for them is, you know, hopping on a $40 million Dassault Falcon jet or Flacon jet or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, flying into Green Bay for the evening. And then,
it's,
you know,
not bad.
And then an armored black SUV takes them back to the airport when it's done. And so even though I'm sure they were sad that they lost, by the next morning they were probably feeling pretty okay. because you know, the rest of the Packers fans weren't even to Oshkosh yet, basically. They're already on to their next deal.
I don't get. Like, I've seen a lot of, oh my God, not Taylor Swift again. Why do they keep showing? It's like, okay, they show her for 5 seconds. She's the, like, the biggest star in the world right now. They show her for 5 seconds. What are you? You're missing a fat guy with his face painted. That's who they'd be showing if they weren't showing Taylor Swift. I don't understand the outrage. And I don't know any of her songs, but she seems all right. And Travis Kelce's a likable dude. Like, I'd take that. I'd rather look at that than a Kardashian constantly in the booth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the guy with the face paint probably has his shirt off, and I don't need to see that because I've seen that for 35 years.
See that in my dreams? Yeah.
And Taylor, she's cute. She's fantastic. So yeah, put her on the TV.
Why not?
I'm gonna, like I said in my article, I'm gonna watch anyway, and so are you. What if they're 2-9 or 9-2? It's a primetime game in December. It's not like we're outside ice fishing at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, maybe somebody is, but you know, most of us are going to watch the Packers at least until it gets out of hand, and then whatever, then we move on.
I like anyway. You had a moment in there where you compared Taylor's travel to how your travel is going as a stand-up comic trying to book a hotel room in Minnesota, and you got so mad at the customer service representative you wish you had a rotary phone to slam down in anger. And that made me laugh. You can't, as angry as you are, you just can't press a button to hang up. It doesn't have the same bite, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't achieve anything. It doesn't tell the person on the other end of the phone anything. They get nothing out of it. Yeah. You get no satisfaction. it's the worst. So,
it's just like, he sounds like he really pressed that button hard. I must have made him angry. You're not getting that.
Right. Yeah, it's not like you can punch the button 3 or 4 times to hang up the phone. You could, like, bang it and just on the table or a desk and hear the bell clang.
Right.
You know.
You do that with a cell, you got to go get a new phone.
I was trying to make a hotel reservation, which ended up taking me 1 hour and 10 minutes, which, of course, is insane when we have, you know, high-speed internet all over the planet, and I should be able to do it in under 10 minutes tops.
Right.
And the customer service lady, wink, wink, because customer service, they just use that ironically, evidently. And
isn't that terrible?
Yeah. She had me on the line for 20 minutes and then finally did what I had initially asked her. And by that point, that's when I wanted to slam the phone.
I love when they say, your call is very important to us.
Yeah.
And you're on hold for important. Yeah, not important enough that we're going to spend more money and hire more customer service reps, but we have to say that. And I get that all the time. So what all right, Mike, you and I go way back. We're both stand-up comics. You're still a stand-up comic. I do it sparingly. But we worked together at Funny Business in Madison, right there on State Street, a block from the Capitol. Now it's not the same owners, but it's a different club a little bit further down. But do you remember when we worked together?
You know, I was trying to remember the first time, and I couldn't remember if it was in Madison or Chicago or Milwaukee, because you were based in Chicago at the time, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And we, you know, we worked a lot of these regional clubs, and that was sort of the little loop was Madison, Milwaukee, and Chicago. So I don't remember specifically, but it would have been for me probably the early 90s,
yeah.
1991, 92.
It was, and I want to say Chris Titus was the headliner, I think.
Oh, man.
I think I was the middle act, and you opened because you were either just starting out or it was your home club and you were just MCing to MC, and but I can't
both.
Remember.
I think it was both. I was just starting out, and they let me work there, like, all the time because it's like a lot of other businesses. Business people tend to be really risk averse, and when they find somebody that's not a total disaster in those days, they would just go, "Okay, you can keep showing up every week because we're too afraid to see what else there is." So they let me work there all the time. I mean, that was great. It was a great room, and it's still the club in Madison is still great. I do remember. I think we worked at the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe once, or maybe we hung out there.
You're right.
You performed there, didn't you?
That was one of my favorite rooms. Yeah, they used me a lot. Yeah. I had a good run there. They used me. Larry the Cable Guy got me in there. He was still Dan Whitney at the time, and he recommended me. And because they liked him so much, they gave me a ton of work, and I didn't even get a laugh. So, no, but they were really good to me, and that was a really fun room to work. I think we did work there.
Yeah, it was a super fun room to work, and it was also one of the strangest places I've ever been anywhere in the whole world.
I agree.
And you know, as since you had been there, it was owned by this big Hawaiian dude, and he was a fan of mafia culture for whatever reason.
Right.
I mean, he aspired to be in the mob, or he was in the mob.
I didn't ask questions.
Yeah, you didn't ask.
Yeah.
And so, like most comedy clubs, you would walk in and there would be pictures of the comedians on the all over the front walls. But then they had a section devoted to real life mobsters, and which, you know, in a comedy club is a little eye opening. You're like, what? How? Where does this come into play?
Oh, that's funny. I must have been gone by then.
But
I remember the owners before him. And they were great.
Yeah.
Kevin and Linda, and
And Linda, right?
Yeah.
And then it was JJD.
Yeah, and I liked JD a lot too. But I know what you're saying. He had kind of he's a guy like I'm like, man, I don't want to get on this guy's bad side, you know?
Yeah, well,
but
so
he was a good guy.
The thing it wasn't even necessarily unique to the Comedy Cafe. It was part of the culture
right.
of Milwaukee bar life. Like every neighborhood bar in Milwaukee, the owner or manager was packing heat. They just were.
Oh,
and so not only did they love this mafia vibe, they were packing heat. And so one night on the weekends there would be three shows. And so the starting times were different than the Friday night show. And they had a basement office that served as the green room.
Oh, yeah.
And one night I was down in the office waiting for the next show to start. And because it was a different time than the previous night, the show had already started unbeknownst to me. And a waitress comes running into the office and she goes, "You're on. They already introduced you." And I was like, "Oh, no." And I ran upstairs and I walk out in the showroom and it's deathly silent. The audience is just sitting there waiting. The MC didn't have enough sense to keep talking.
He
just introduced me and bailed. And so I walk out into a completely quiet room and start my act and I do my set and whatever. Then I get done and I walk through the showroom and I get out the showroom door and one of the owner's guys puts one arm around me and with his other arm, he sticks a gun in my side. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And says
Mike,
to me, you
hold
know,
that
where
thought.
The hell were
I, hold on. I want to treat this like a movie. That's the suspense. Can you stick around?
Yeah, sure.
Give me 60 seconds. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett,
I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Boy, that was tough. Mike, you still there?
I am still here.
Indeed. I'm talking to Mike Mercury, Madison comedian and writer, who is in the middle of an awesome story, but I had to go to a break. So it's like the suspense. It's like we're going to take a brief intermission. So you were introduced. You didn't know the show time because they changed it. You went up. You did your set. And the comedy club owner walks you into the hall with a gun in your ribs. Finish telling the story.
One of his minions, one of his bouncers, I don't know what they had all these guys that worked there who helped. You know, they had very non-specific titles and job assignments. We don't really know what they did. They were just around. And on Saturdays, they all dressed in these like zoot suits because Saturday was the big night. So they'd wear these huge oversized coats and all of them were packing heat. So I get done with the show. I walk through the showroom and one of his guys puts an arm around me, sticks his 45 or whatever in my side and says something like, hey man, where the hell were you, or whatever he was saying. And of course I was a little bit mortified that there's a gun in my belly in a comedy club, and I said, hey Howard, that's real funny until somebody loses a spleen, and then you know, then he laughs and put his gun away because I don't know, then he felt he had gotten his point across or taught me my lesson or whatever the point of all that was. But, you know, I mean, it's insane to be in a comedy club as one of the entertainers and the help sticks a gun in your belly.
Right. I mean, I used to wear a cup every time I went on stage, but that was just a precaution. That's not going to do you much good with a gun.
That's not going
to
help.
Despite what you just said, I will have to say, I always got along with everybody there. It was a fun club to work. I'm sorry that you messed up on the show.
No. See, here's the weird thing. I went there after that. I was there, you know, 15 more times.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was a great place. The audiences were unbelievable, and it was, you know, maybe because there were guns, it was a very well-run club. I don't know, but
that's the reason.
I don't know what effect the guns had on the business, other than it was well-run and the audiences were great. Nobody heckled you there. You know, I think they
well, now we know why.
They see pictures of John Gotti at the front, at the door coming in, and they're like, okay, we get the message.
That screams comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you worked the road a lot, right? I mean, you were a road guy. You did all the Yoder gigs and all these fun Midwest rooms, right?
I did that primarily for, I think it was 11 years, basically. I just was on the road constantly for 11 years. And then I went, hey, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is not great.
Do you still do it, Mike? Are you still touring? You have any dates you want to share with people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I'm still on the road. I just don't do it as much. And so one of the things I do, like this, the trip to Minnesota is I'm leaving on Thursday for this town called Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I'm doing a company Christmas party, which is a lot of what I do this time of year. So you do these, you know, you're the entertainment for the company Christmas party where it needs, the comedy needs to be fairly accessible and universal and clean. And you can't upset the, you know, the boss CEO. And the old ladies in accounting or whatever the case is. But then the following Saturday, this Saturday, December 9th, I'm at a casino in Minneapolis called Running Aces Casino, and there's two shows there. So I still do this mix of sort of private corporate things, and then I work a lot of casinos because the casino shows are a little bit different than the comedy clubs, in part because they're not such a long run. You know, the clubs are usually multiple nights or whatever.
Sure.
And the casino shows I do, you know, it's generally one night, two nights, something like that. So, yeah, so I'm still out there doing it. I just do it a little more on my terms, I guess, and I don't have to rely on it the way I did for you know, 11 years in the 90s.
Right. Well, you got to work a room up here so we can have you in the studio and promote it a little bit. So keep that in mind. But
I'd love to. I love coming up there. I think I had told you I drove through, up through your neck of the woods not too long ago. I was up at the Island Resort and Casino. I go up there once in a while. I'll be coming back up next, I think, late March to another casino way over on the eastern UP called I'm drawing a blank on it. Anyway, you know, there's a bunch of casinos up in the UP that I work, and I love coming up there. So yeah,
you can go laugh and then lose all your money. It's a great night out. Bring the kids.
Well, listen, that's one of the things where I learned. So I used to work in Las Vegas too. I used to do anywhere from like 4 to 6 full weeks a year in Las Vegas, and in those days you would literally do 7 nights in the same place. And I used to work at the old Riv, the Riviera, which is now gone, along with another slightly lesser known place. That was the thing. They would give you your paycheck for the week as soon as you showed up on Monday. They'd be like, hey, here you go. I never really gambled because I just had too much on the line. I had to get home 7 days later with the money in my pocket.
Here I am thinking they're being trusty, and you're right. They want you to gamble it away. Mike, we got to run. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It was a great article. Check out Mike's work on Substack, and look for Mike on Google him. Find out where he's at. He's very funny. Thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
You too. Thanks, Mike. Have a great night.
All right,
see you. Bye. Oh, Mike Mercury, funny guy. So, Conrad, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Do we have time to play a quick snippet of one more song?
Oh yeah,
let's fire it up. This is my least favorite. Saved it for last. All right, you can cut it. That song sounds like it was written. It's like a bunch of friends are sitting around and said, hey, let's take some speed and write a Christmas song. I don't know. Am I on an island with that one? We've been pretty much on the same level, Conrad. What do you think about that one?
I don't hate that song.
Oh, look at that.
I don't hate it.
Nice.
But it's still not great.
Yeah.
I'll definitely listen to other. I wouldn't pick it out.
I think the problem is I hear it all the time. That's probably the most played Christmas song in my house anywhere, the car, whatever. Hey, great show tonight. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your texts and calls. I want to thank Rob Thomas, Mike Mercury, and Brittany Welch. Phenomenal. We'll be back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Thanks so much.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsey Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another winning season in the CCIW. You can catch all the action of every Carroll women's home game right here. Join Don Brown as he takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Listening to the Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.